This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, what reviewers are saying about this weekend's new movies. First, though, President Bush has signed the Unborn Victims of Violence Act, which expands fetal rights. The bill passed the Senate last week with support from Republicans as well as some Democrats. At a signing ceremony yesterday at the White House, Mr. Bush said the act makes it a separate crime to injure or kill a fetus during a violent federal crime against a pregnant woman.
The death of an innocent unborn child has too often been treated as a detail in one crime, but not a crime in itself.
President Bush speaking as he signed the Unborn Victims of Violence Act into law. Will Salatin writes the ballot box column at our partner Slate Magazine Online. He's also the author of Bearing Right, How the Conservatives Won the Abortion War. That's a book about the politics of abortion in this country. Came out a couple of months ago. Will's got a column about this new law on Slate this week. Will Salatin, how does this law change the abortion debate?
Well, you know, a lot of commentators have pointed out the obvious thing, which is that it shifts the focus of the debate away from the woman and toward the fetus. It puts the fetus front and center, which generally helps the pro-life side of the debate. What I think is really interesting and doesn't get talked about is that this bill is part of a new pro-life strategy to use the theme of choice for abortion restrictions. In other words, it says these are situations in which the fetus is wanted and is taken away from the woman. It is killed, destroyed, whatever you want to say, against the woman's will.
As I read your piece, when you're talking about the politics of all this, you're talking a lot about language and the terms that people use. Would you explain that?
Yes. And, you know, what pro-lifers are going at here is that in Roe v. Wade, the 1973 decision that legalized abortion throughout the country, the court said, in areas other than criminal abortion, the law has been reluctant to endorse any theory that life as we recognize it begins before live birth, or to accord legal rights to the unborn. So that's what the court is saying. We don't see the law acknowledging the fetus as a person or as a child, so we're not going to say that its rights override the rights of the pregnant woman. So what the administration and the Republicans in Congress are doing is they are placing in law these phrases that describe the fetus as a person, as a child in utero in the case of this legislation, so that they can then come back to the court later on and say, you know what, now the laws do acknowledge the fetus as a person and do treat it as having its own rights. So now you can revisit Roe v. Wade and say that the rights of the fetus override the rights of the pregnant woman.
Is this, Will, the best week that the anti-abortion forces have had in 20 years?
Oh, it's been a great week for them. It's been a great several months for them. They got the partial birth abortion ban passed, which they had been fighting for years. Now they got the Unborn Victims of Violence Act passed. They have a couple others in the hopper that look like they're politically saleable. So they're making a lot of headway. The question is really how far that headway is going to go. That is, okay, they got their definition of the fetus as an unborn child into law, but if they begin to translate that into an abortion ban, and more than, you know, an isolated procedure like the partial birth procedure, will there be a public backlash?
Because this issue is so difficult, so contentious, so painful for the whole country.
Yes, and, you know, what's going on right now simultaneous with the president's signature on this law, the Unborn Victims Bill, is the trials in several cities of the partial birth abortion ban.
Right.
And in that case, the government has subpoenaed medical records from a bunch of hospitals to find out whether the so-called partial birth procedure is ever medically necessary. And they've blacked out the names of the women in those medical cases because they don't actually need their names to determine whether, in general, this procedure is medically necessary. But what it shows you is that in order to enforce a general abortion ban, they would have to determine whether each woman's abortion is medically necessary. And in order to do that, they would not black out your name. They would want to know, in your case, what were the medical facts? And those would be decided not between you and your doctor, but in a court of law. So I think in a way these trials can show people who are already upset about the ugliness of abortion the other side of the question, which is the ugliness of enforcing an abortion ban.
Analysis and opinion from Slate writer Will Salatin, who's also the author of the recent book Bearing Right, How Conservatives Won the Abortion War. Will, thanks for joining us again on Day to Day.
Thank you, Alex.